of in chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13 of Matthew. The farmer, the seed, and the soils. And so we're going to take a look at that subject beginning in verse 7. Chapter 13 of Matthew. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So it's significant that in the four Gospels, 35 of the Lord's miracles and 35 of his parables are recorded. These parables, which are unique in all literature, are miracles of spiritual teaching, words aptly spoken. And by the man that it was said in John 7 and 46, never a man spake like this man. I've always liked that verse. Never a man spake like this man. So these parables are word pictures. I'm going to draw you a picture shortly. But before that, these parables are word pictures. They're like apples of gold and settings of silver. And so what is a parable, by the way? It's an illustration, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and a story that is true to life and that is told in the form of a parable to make the truth clearer and easier to understand. And so there's three things about this parable that we want to look at tonight. Of the farmer, the seeds, and the soils. Probably it was the first of the parables. And it's certainly a foundation parable. Mark 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" So it was right up there because it had a great deal to do with the parables that were on their way. It would come later. And so first of all, there are three important parts that need to be clearly understood. And the whole parable has to do with the farmer and the seed and the four kinds of soil, which is the seed, into which the seed fell. So the farmer is the Lord himself. It's the Lord himself here. And when he was on earth, he sowed the seed. Today, he still sows the seed. Through all who faithfully preach the word. And so the seed is the Word of God, consisting of the gospel and of all the revealed truth of God. What a wonderful seed it is. What a wonderful seed it is. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Changed my life when I was 23 years old, when I got saved. And so then the soil is the human heart. The soil is the human heart. Four kinds of soil are mentioned, and it's important to see that there was nothing wrong with the seed. Seed doesn't change. The Word of God does not change. The message doesn't change. And we're living in a day when they're trying to change the message. Message never changes. And so it was a reception of the seed which was wrong. In three cases, in one case it was not. Three cases, the reception to the seed, the Word of God, was something was wrong with the reception. It wasn't the seed, it was the receptor, the human heart. And in one of these cases, it was okay, it was great. So we're going to look at the different kinds of ground represent four distinct ways in which the Word is treated by those who hear it. Four responses. Wherever you go, people are pretty much the same the world over. Did you ever figure that out? People are pretty much the same with the world over. And no matter where you go, you're going to speak to four different kinds of hearts. And you're going to get four different receptions here. And so there's four kinds of hearers. The first one is the hard ground hearer. And the interpretation is in Matthew 13 and verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So that was pretty much over pretty quickly here. It fell by the wayside. The hard ground. Here's a person who hears the word, but whose heart is hard. You ever met someone like that, or you ever seen someone like that? They had a very hard heart. And without depth. No depth to their heart. Just very hard. The word is not received. And while it stays on the surface, the birds come and take it away. Many people are like that. And increasingly so as we approach the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are hard. They're just hard. I've noticed that in my ministry over the years, people's heart is hard. And the word's not received. It stays on the surface. They come to church, hear the word, seem to like it. Seems so. But the word is on their hearts, not in their hearts. There is a humongous difference here. To the stony heart here, the word is just laying on their heart on the outside. It never penetrates into the heart. Judas Iscariot was like this in Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 48. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Look at all the preaching he had heard. Hey, he walked right beside Jesus. Yet the Word of God did not penetrate into his heart. His heart was just like a stone. The Word only laid on the surface. Next is the stony ground here. We read about him in Matthew in 13 and verse 5. Some fell upon stony ground, stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Heart was just like a stone. It had no depth, the Bible's saying here. And many profess conversion. They even go on pretty well until trouble or persecution comes. And isn't it surprising how many fall by the wayside whenever persecution comes along? And they have difficulties of one kind or another. And they give up. Simon Magnus was a stony ground here in Acts chapter 8. Next is the thorny ground here. The thorny ground here. Matthew 13, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So that didn't go well. They had thorny ground. And this is the double-minded hearer, one whose heart is worldly and preoccupied with money. Many today appear to receive the word. But when they allow money and possessions to rule their lives, the word becomes choked. And Ananias and Sapphira were thorny ground hearers in Acts chapter 5. Now we come to the good ground here. These first three, they didn't make it. The word was on the surface only. Did not penetrate into their heart. Changed their life. Matthew 13, verse 8. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So the good ground here, this here is honest and receptive and fruitful. That's important. And we can look at Nathaniel, John, 1st chapter, the Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius, they all illustrate the good ground here. He's honest and he's receptive. But one more thing, he is fruitful. You can see fruit from that. The moment he receives the Word of God, he understands it. It penetrates into his heart. It's not laying on the surface. It penetrates into his heart and changes his life. Good ground here. Notice there were three that were not good ground. Don't be surprised when you see people come to church and, man, I'm telling you what, they just eat it up there for about a couple of 3 months and then they disappear and... Where'd that guy go? The Word of God did never penetrated his heart. He was thorny ground, he was stony ground, or he was hard-hearted, hard ground. But not this guy here. Good ground here. Results happen. No telling how many people are saved by this kind of a person. They're very fruitful. Some even more fruitful than others, the Bible says. But they show fruit of some kind. And last, what useful lessons can we learn from this parable? First of all, we must pay attention to what we hear. Matthew 13 and verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Use those ears. And when the Lord taught this parable, He knew the hearts of His hearers. He also knows our hearts. He knows all about us. Cannot conceal anything from Him. He knows every thought that we have. And so the question comes here, what kind of hearers are we? Where do we fit in here? Then hearts need to be prepared before they can receive the word and be saved and blessed. Hearts need to be prepared. Just as soil needs preparing by the farmer. Around here, you've got plenty of farmers. You see those guys riding the John Deere's? That's the guy that God is using. He's a farmer. He's planting the seed. Not this corn seed. He's planting the Word of God. The symbolism is there. You see what I mean? Hearts need to be prepared before they can receive the Word and be saved and blessed. Don't ever go soul winning without massive prayer. It's best you don't even go. Because what you're going to do is you're going to sow seed on hearts that have not been prepared. That farmer doesn't go out there and throw out that seed on the ground without preparing the ground. Therefore, you and I ought not to go soul winning and just go out there and sow the seed without preparing by prayer. You're going to need some help if you're going to win souls. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. There is no heart that He cannot penetrate. There is no life that He cannot change. So you're going to need that help. I led my son-in-law to Christ not long ago. He was a Lutheran. And I asked him, I said, where would you go if you were to die today? He says, well, I think I phrased the question a little bit differently than that. I said, first of all, if you were to go up to the gate of heaven and the Lord were to come to the gate and you were to say, I'd like to come into your heaven, what do you think the Lord would say? He says, well, I think the Lord would look back on my life and He would see things that I did good. Now, this guy does lead a moral life. He's a very good person. He's an excellent person. But he wasn't saved. And he says, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I'd go to heaven. So right there, he's telling me he believes in work salvation. I gave him a track. I had to leave town. I had to go. I just left him a track. I said, we'll take this up some other time. But in the meantime, I was really praying for him. And when I got back down to Florida, the first opportunity I had with him alone, I said, would you like to get saved? He says, yes. You see what had happened in the meantime? The Word of God had its opportunity to do its work. And he started seeing it takes more to be saved than works. You can't be saved by works. And so you can tell a person that, but it just doesn't register unless the Holy Spirit is revealing to them their wicked condition before a holy God. And then, within minutes after he got saved, do you know what he said? What about my family? Who's all lost in their Lutherans. Now, old Martin Luther was a saved man. I believe there's saved people in every denomination. There are some Catholics I believe are saved. Not because of the Catholic Church, but in spite of it. But the Lutherans have, like other denominations, and some Baptists, I might say, have strayed far away from what they should be. They're not teaching salvation. And so he was burdened about his family. A person that's not saved is not burdened about their family. But a person that's born again is burdened. You know something? When a person gets saved, they're first saved, they're not burdened about people over in the Philippines getting saved. They're not burdened about people over in Italy getting saved. I'll tell you who a person that gets saved is burdened about. They're burdened about their closest relatives. Later on, as they grow in the Lord, they'll be burdened about people they've never even seen, never met. Some faraway place. They'll be genuinely burdened about that soul, and they'll give to missions. And they'll pray for people to be saved under that missionary's ministry. But not when they're just saved. It's not that quick. When I got saved, 23 years old, I had a revival speaker come in at the church I was attending, and I took him around to every relative I had in Fort Myers, Florida. We knocked on every door of my relatives, and he led several of them to Jesus Christ. You're burdened about people that are closest to you. And so here was his relatives up north somewhere. New York, I believe it is. And he was burdened about them. That's a sign that he got saved. Plow that ground before the seed's applied. That's what the farmer does. He doesn't go out there and throw that seed on the ground. He plows it. And then he puts the seed in and covers it up. And that's good soil. That's good soil to plant in. Let's put it in military terms. Let's say there's an island out in the Pacific in World War II, and the Americans were going to invade that island, and they were going to take that island. They didn't send the infantry in first without sending the bombers in, and they send the fighter planes in, and they strafe it, and they bomb it, and there's naval guns, which is the 16, 18-inch guns. They take those things, and for 2, 3, 4 hours, they just bombard, and soften it up. That's coal plowing the ground. Then they send in the infantry. And that's what you and I got to do. We've got to pray so that the Holy Spirit will break up that ground, that stony ground, stony heart, hard heart. And stony ground and hard heart, and the good ground. It needs to be broken up. There's only one way to do it. For spiritual purposes, we have to use spiritual weapons. And the only two weapons God gave us is prayer and the Word of God. Only two we have. You have to learn to use those, and I have to learn to use those effectively in order to be successful in God's work and doing spiritual work. We have no other tools that we can use. And preachers and teachers, missionaries, must aim at deep work. That is deeply penetrating the human heart. You can't do it by yourself. You'll find that out soon. So there's so much superficial topsoil work being done today. See a lot of these guys on TV doing more harm than they do good. The devil's using them like gangbusters. Preachers and teachers must aim at deep work, and the twofold objective of all true preaching and teaching is indicated in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke 8:15, but on the good ground they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. See that? Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. How about that? They not only keep the word of God, but they bring forth fruit. My grandson, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, got saved in one of my meetings, and you know what he did? He went home and led his younger brother to Jesus Christ. That's how it's done. That's how it's done, friend. There ought to be some fruit. There's got to be some fruit. And if you don't know how to learn, you don't know how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, it's very, very simple. You learn how to lead somebody to the Lord, because I'll tell you what, we're living in times when people are going to need that real soon. They're going to need to know how to go to heaven. Miss Hill. And you could be the instrument that God uses to lead someone to Christ. Very simple. Remember, prayer. The farmer plows up that ground. Every time you see a farmer around here plowing up ground, you start thinking about sowing the seed of the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, that'll do something for you. It'll do something for you. Now look at this. We're going to close here. I'm going to draw for you. We're warned to beware of special dangers. Satan is always ready to snatch away the word. Beware of Satan. He's listening right now. He's never off the job. He's always on the job. The guy never sleeps. He's always on the job. Beware of Satan. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So I'm going to draw for you right now, and Remember Jesus. Jesus is the farmer. And he sows the seed. And all of those who share the gospel with others are workers. They're doing the same work, sowing the seed. All right, let me move this out of your way here a little bit. And we can have all the lights off. You got a light?
Okay. them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
If not, you can be by trusting Christ as your Savior tonight. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person who might say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'm spending eternity. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. But I'm interested enough about my soul to ask you to remember me in prayer tonight." Thank you.